this week on the eBay for Business podcast.
You can go through on eBay and either go through the sell-through, so you can go filter out what's been sold versus active listing. So if there's 1,000 of them listed and we've sold one in the past 90 days, you've got some competition on that one item. There may not be a ton of demand for it, and there's 1,000 listings of the same item. On the contrary, you might have 1,000 listings and 5,000 have sold. So likelihood of your sell-through going is very fast.
I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 306. Welcome back to America, Kiyomi. How was Japan?
Japan was amazing. I was telling you about the travel delays I experienced on the way back. And I woke up this morning and I feel like all the walking I did over my trip hit me today. But it was amazing because when I was in Japan, I was like, wow, my body is so resilient. This is great. Like, I don't feel tired at all. But I guess it was saving itself for this moment. But it was amazing.
Well, that's good. And the weather?
Oh, my first real experience with humidity. I learned that I am capable of sweating so much more than I ever knew.
Oh, dear. I hope it didn't put a damper on your enjoyment of the country.
Oh, never. It was still so much fun. Did I sweat through some of my clothing? Absolutely. But I still had a great time. Nonetheless, I went to Kyoto and Osaka, and it was really fun. Like, I really enjoyed Kyoto. I heard that it was a much older city and very different from Tokyo. And so I wasn't sure if or like how much more I was going to like it because I love Tokyo, but I enjoyed it a lot. Just like seeing all of the older like historical shrines, and they're obviously a lot older than some of those in Tokyo. So that was so much fun. And I felt like there was just like a different feeling to it. Like, you could feel the history in the air. And I got you a nice fan from there, Griff.
Thank you so much.
Couldn't leave you out.
Oh, thank you. I love fans.
Well, you'll have a nice one. Now we'll have to get your address to send you a little swag shipment like we do with some of our listeners.
Oh, it's a deal. I'll send it in to podcast@ebay.com. Send me a mug while you're at it. Oh, speaking of mugs, we've had a few inquiries from some past winners whose questions that we've used in past episodes. And I just wanted to give you an update that we were waiting for a new batch to come in, and we'll be sending in that list of addresses for our next batch next week, and they should go out by the end of the week. So apologies for the delay. So there it is. Anyway, that's what we're back in the podcast. You're back at work. This is so much fun.
Yes. Happy to be back.
Yes.
I'd love to know, Griff, who's our guest this week?
Oh, our guest this week is someone special. He's been on the podcast before. He's an eBay employee, and also he's an eBay seller who sells a lot on eBay. He's constantly winning the contest for employees who sells the most. His name is Stephen Weller, and he has some best practices for any seller who's worried because their inventory is not moving and they don't quite know why. So we have a whole list of those to go through. Before we get to Stephen, what's the news this week?
Well, the big news this week is that registration is open for eBay Open 2024. The event takes place September 25th and 26th, and you can learn more and register at ebay.com/eBay Open.
Yeah, you can see the agenda, what's going to be available.
Also in the news, effective August 12th, 2024, so yesterday, UPS will increase some ground rates at the eBay Labels platform. The increases vary by weight and zone and generally affect packages between 2 to 11 pounds. The rate for 1-pound packages will decrease across all zones. Even with the rate adjustment, sellers continue to receive heavily discounted rates when shipping with UPS using eBay Labels. We recommend you check weights and zones to see how these changes may impact your shipments. The eBay shipping calculator will automatically update on August 12th with the new rates. The calculator can be found at ebay.com/SHP/calculator.
Yeah, and we'll put that link in the transcript, in the summary for episode 306.
Of course.
Glad to have you back, and we'll see you in a moment when we're going to answer two questions that were sent in by sellers. But in the meantime, it's time to meet our guest. Let's go talk to Stephen. Okay, over the last 28 years that I've been at eBay, both as a buyer, seller, and of course an eBay employee, there is a constant complaint that has been around for all that time. And it is, why are my items not selling? eBay. And of course, there are many reasons why if you've listed inventory and it's not moving at the velocity that you would like it to move, there could be reasons why. I could spend hours telling you why what I think, but let's talk to somebody who actually sells more than me on eBay and actually works at eBay. Joining us now, he's returning, he's been on the show before, is Stephen Weller. He's the head of business development for the U.S. at eBay. He's also a full-time eBay seller. He also has a family. I don't know how he does this. And he's what I call the constant sourcer because he's always sourcing. You're always sourcing, right, Stephen?
I'm always sourcing. Yeah, I just picked up some Funko Pops at Target this week while looking for new lunchboxes for my children.
Can you make money on them?
I can. Yeah, I'll be making $15 or $20 each on them. So always be sourcing.
This is good news. Well, welcome back to the program, Stephen.
Thank you. Great to be back. I love this podcast.
Let's start right off with some of the best practices when it comes to listing. And I know that a lot of our audience knows these. I think it always bears repeating. So let's run through those. What are some of your best practices?
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. And I do talk to sellers every single day, and this is the same stuff that I preach to them. So big corporate sellers, little sellers, or sellers like myself out of my garage. So it all remains true and the same. First and foremost, start out, make sure you're listing the right item in the right category. For some reason, people tend to put items in the wrong category. And when buyers filter down, they filter out those categories and your items are now lost. So always double check what category you're putting them in. Number two, title. So make sure you have a correct title. Utilize at least 60 of the 80 characters. We give you 80 so that you can put as much information in the title as you want to. People love to type in words in search and be able to go about looking for it that way. And so the more pertinent, and I say that specifically, information you have in there, the better off, the more likely someone's going to find your product. For pictures, take great photos. I don't have an elaborate photo studio. I use a little $10 photo booth, light up photo booth thing I bought on eBay. But make sure you have at least 4 to 6 pictures with a white background. And that way people can see everything. A lot of times, say, for example, Funko Pops I brought up earlier, you're going to take a picture of all 6 sides of the box because that's what customers want.
Yeah. What's next?
Next, item specifics. So I recommend a minimum of 4, but I would recommend even up to 8. Sometimes it's a minimum depending on the category. So for example, if you're selling a laptop, you're going to want to put screen size, hard drive, RAM, memory, operating, all those different things. So make sure you use as many as you can. Also, if you can, use the pre-filled ones. Those are what people are mostly searching for and looking for too. So if it's on the drop-down menu, definitely put what you need to put in there. I'm not saying don't, but if you have the ability to put the ones that are already there, select those because those are the most widely used. And then lastly, product description. Make sure you accurately describe the product you're selling. If there's a problem with it, if it's coming this way or that way or something different that you can't just tell from the photo, list it. Give descriptions. That way people know what they're looking at and what they want to get, because if they don't know, they might be afraid to purchase it. And so those are the kind of the quick 5 best practice listings that I have, by and large, for people.
What about shipping? There's always that argument about should it be free shipping or not, or do I have to offer more than one service, and how do I determine how much shipping should be, and should I ship internationally? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's definitely shipping is a daunting thing that people don't like about selling on eBay, but it's not as hard as or as scary as you think it is. So in regards to free shipping, I always say I recommend it, but it's not required. Certain products, you know, you're not going to want to have free shipping on because they're heavy or bulky. Things like that, or it doesn't make sense. And there are some benefits to charging shipping too as a seller for returns and things like that as well. There are multiple service choices you brought up. So I might want to buy something for my son's or daughter's or nephew's birthday, right? And I want it sooner. So you can offer more services other than just USPS Ground Vantage. You might want to offer a priority type services as well, because that'll entice other people to buy it. Another one that I think is a big one that people don't pay attention to very well is handling time. I'm not saying you got to go to the post office every day like I do, but put a reasonable handling time of maybe, we recommend probably 2 days. But if your time doesn't exist that way or you're too busy to do things, you know, make it as short as possible, because putting a 5, 7, 10, 20-day handling time puts that shipping time out and people are less likely to buy from you if they want it sooner rather than later. There's definitely exclusions. Some people don't like shipping to PO boxes or certain areas and certain states and things like that. If you don't mind shipping to them, just make sure those are not included. It defaults to not having them excluded, but some people put them on for fear and then lose a lot of sales that way. Another great one is shipping promotions. So for example, I sell a lot of small items that might be only $10, where a $6 shipping fee might hurt me. So what you can do is you can say, hey, if you spend $30 on these $10 items, then you get free shipping. And then those 3 items can go into one box. And now that shipping cost is broken down across those 3 items as well. So don't think you can't sell inexpensive items because the shipping cost is daunting. There are marketing vehicles and promotions you can do yourself in your seller store to help assist with that. And lastly, my favorite thing recently is the eBay international shipping. I personally don't like going through and doing all the paperwork and the HTS codes and having to make sure it's the right item in the right category. It's very difficult. And eBay has streamlined that process. New sellers are automatically enrolled and old sellers were enrolled unless you unchecked it, but able to ship internationally now. And so what you do is you just ship to Chicago around that area and a couple other sites that we have in the US, and we'll do all the heavy lifting for you and handle returns and everything else. You are done once it reaches the domestic location. So if you have that checkbox on, you know, checked off saying you don't want to do international, go back in there and get rid of that. It's great. I get 2-3 a week and they're customers you wouldn't reach otherwise.
That's a good point. We talked a lot about eBay international shipping in previous episodes. So if you have more questions, you can always send them to us, of course, at podcast@ebay.com. But you can go back and listen to previous episodes that feature eBay international shipping as one of the topics. What about promoted listings, Stephen? Stephen, do you use those?
I do use them religiously. In fact, every item I have has 2% across the board for promoted listings. I use a standard model. So the great thing is I don't pay unless it sells, right? So there's no extra money out of pocket. We do have an advanced option to where if you want to do pay-per-click and things like that, but I love the standard version and I use 2%. So what I'd recommend is taking your items, depending on the category, depending on your cost and how much margin you have, play around with it. Don't set it really high, don't set it really low, but go somewhere in between and see how your sales are and see if it's working. And every category is different. Every item is different. And so it's really nice to be featured in the promoted spots, carousels, different things like that. So I highly recommend at least a 2% minimum promoted listings fee. That's me as a seller talking here. You know what? On some of my items where maybe I have more margin or want to move it a little bit faster, I will up the promoted listing as well to a little bit higher rate. So I think everyone should participate just depending on their level.
One of the bits of advice I'm constantly giving people who use promoted listings is before you even consider it, make sure your pricing is straight. So if you're overpriced to begin with, promotions of any type are not going to help you. Buyers are smarter than that.
Absolutely.
Now, when it comes to a seller, we call it seller status or seller performance. How important is that for making sales?
I think it's very important. Obviously, customers are going to see people with good feedback and the ability to ship products on time and things like that. It is very important in our system, we'll call it, that you do a good job with that. We want you, not only yourself, but the buyers to have a good experience buying from you. So the better experience you give them, the more likely you're going to sell product. And so you want to make sure you're not shipping late, tracking's uploaded on time, you don't have any open cases without your response, and no defect rates, don't run out of stock and things like that. So having that good feedback, that top seller rating, plus a fee discount, you get a final value fee discount when you have that, allows you to be in that upper echelon of sellers, and buyers really appreciate.
So I alluded to pricing a few moments ago. What is your strategy behind pricing when it comes to selling at a velocity?
So every item and every category is very different, but by and large, to go over one strategy, it's you don't have to be the lowest, you just have to be, you know, within the area there. So if you do all the things we talked about earlier, from the listing best practices and shipping, promoted listings, you're a good seller, things like that, you don't have to be the lowest. If everyone's selling something at $99.99, you don't have to be $49.99 to sell it. You can be $89, you can be $9, you can even be $109. As long as you're in the area of where everyone else is, you're going to be able to help sell your product. But I would definitely pay attention to your pricing. The other thing people do is they'll set one price and forget about it. And 6 months, 9 months go by and their item hasn't sold. And if you look at now, that $99 item on eBay is now worth $49, which happens a lot, especially in like areas of categories that change pricing a lot. If you sell a collectible that just came out, maybe today it's worth $99, tomorrow it's worth $49. Or maybe $149, maybe it goes up and the $99 is actually really low and you should have raised the price. But you need to make sure you are monitoring your pricing and see what the market's at. So I would try to be at market. One thing you can also do is, depending on how you feel comfortable with your pricing strategies as well. So for example, average selling price. So I mentioned earlier about the $9.99 with the, you know, if you buy three, you get free shipping. There's other things you can do with that as well. You can run promotions. So you can do 10% off, 20% off, things like that, that you have tools for in the seller hub that you're able to take advantage of on your own. And so you just have to come up with a strategy. So you look at your shipping costs, you look at the price of the product you bought it for, you know, we'll talk about sourcing a little later, and then, you know, what you're listing it for. And all those things combined make for a great pricing strategy.
And then our final topic, and one that I find is so important, I'm glad you saved it till the end, and that's what kind of products you're sourcing. What is your advice there?
So my number one advice is actually source things you like. You know, a lot of people tend to source things they don't like and don't know about. I like to learn about new things, and so I like to source pretty much everything. But if you're starting out, source something you enjoy, because you'll know a little bit better, learn about it, and you'll probably be a little bit better at buying it at the right price. That's kind of one thing I would look at. I would also look at is your product in demand. So you can go through on eBay and either go through the sell-through, so you can go filter out, you know, what's been sold versus active listing. So if there's 1,000 of them listed and we've sold one in the past 90 days, you've got some competition on that one item. There may not be a ton of demand for it, and there's 1,000 listings of the same item. On the contrary, you might have 1,000 listings and 5,000 have sold. So likelihood of your sell-through going is very fast. And so make sure you're looking through things like that. I still love one-offs and one-of-ones and things that don't exist on eBay and hard to find. That's what eBay is known for. But understand, if you do go, as Griff puts it, if you go long tail, it's going to be long tail. So please check that. The other tool we have that I recommend using is, we bought a company back in 2017 called Terapeak. It's now inside the Seller Hub as product research. And you're able to go in there and actually see what's selling in different categories. You can type in UPC codes, model numbers. You can type in the word Godzilla. And if you want to see what Godzilla action figures or kids party supplies or t-shirts or whatever it is on there you want to see, you can see what's selling around what price point. And it gives you a good idea of what maybe you should be sourcing and looking for.
I use product research all the time, even for products that I think I know, because as you mentioned before, things change. I also use the sold listing sort. That's helpful. And I think together they can give you a better idea of, hey, if I buy this, is it going to sell? Or if I buy this, what can I expect for a price? Or when I buy this, how long will it take to sell this?
Yeah. And the great thing about product research is you go back up to 3 years. So in the sold, you get 90 days. In research, you get up to three years. So you can see what it sold for 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, and now. So you might even be able to see, okay, well, maybe it doesn't sell in 90 days, but it'll sell in 6 months. And if you have enough capital to wait 6 months and you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. But yeah, definitely a good vast knowledge on price points and velocity and things like that.
Well, Stephen, this is excellent advice. I think I may adopt it myself. Stephen, what's your eBay store?
It's Subliminal Susie is the store URL, but I go by the Pin Guy.
The Pin Guy. Okay.
Mostly Disneyana, Disney pins, collectibles, and things like that.
We'll put a link to your store in the transcript for this episode.
No, I appreciate that. So if you're looking for collectibles and Disneyana and stuff, I'm the one-stop shop for all that good stuff. And it's a lot of fun. All the things that bring joy to your heart when you buy it.
Or if you want to see these best practices put into practice by the person who's telling you about these best practices, you'll want to check out Stephen's store. Like I said, we'll put a link to it in the transcript for this episode. Stephen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Griff, as always. And I appreciate everything you do for the community.
Stephen Weller is head of biz development here at eBay. And we'll put a link to his store so that you can go check it out and see if he practices what he preaches. He does.
You've got questions.
We've got answers. Now, Kaomi, as is traditional on our podcast, would you read our first question, please?
It would be my honor to read it. Our first question is from eBay seller Monica, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Howdy, Kaomi and Griff. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Thank you for all the helpful information. My seller ID is freshfinds_LLC. I send offers about once a week and usually get some buyers by offering only $1 to $2 off. Lately, I've noticed that I'm no longer able to offer just $1 to $2 from some of my sent offers eligible listings. Occasionally, when making an offer for those amounts, I get a red exclamation mark pop up telling me that my offers need to be lower than a particular amount. My question is simply, why does this happen? I've attached two screenshots regarding this question. This happens to items that are new to my sent offers list, so I know it has nothing to do with the offers I've already sent. Thanks again for this awesome podcast. Of course, I included my mailing address because I love eBay swag. Best, Monica. Well, Monica, thank you for sending this question in, and it's good to know that you're such a big fan. And we will, like Riff said at the beginning of the podcast, get that swag shipped to you. Now, onto your question. An offer sent to a buyer must be at least 5% lower than the original price. In each instance you've shown in the screenshots, the discounts you originally offered were less than 5%.
And that's because I think she's been giving discounts on items that were like maybe $10 or $15, and taking a few dollars off of that will easily get you to 5%. But the screenshots that she showed were for items that were around $50. And in that case, the discount has to be at least 5%. And then that would be $5 off. When I was looking at this, I thought, you know, it's not surprising that Monica might make this mistake and then not know why, because we don't indicate it on the offer page. So besides just the amount, there should be something that says clearly your discount when you're sending an offer, the price has to be at least 5% discount from the price you listed it at. So that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. I was surprised that we don't already have that. So thanks for bringing this to our attention.
I've sent it off to the product team so that they can consider it. I really think it should be up there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, our next question is from Seller Cyrus, who has a question about free listings with a store subscription. Hey, Griff and Kaomi. I'm a part-time listener to the podcast and have enjoyed your content very much. It's inspiring to hear some other eBay sellers have great success finding markets and product lines that work best for them and how I can implement their best practices into my own sales tactics. That's the whole purpose of the podcast. My questions are fairly new to me as I recently subscribed to a basic store, and the basic store subscription provides 1,000 fixed price listings plus 250 auction style and an additional 10,000 fixed price listings in select categories. Sports trading cards is what I have been posting most of. So will I be charged for any recurring renews monthly listings that go over the 1,000 listings, or is my cap 10,000? On my application, I have roughly 966 listings active, and the app states I have another 970 listings this month. So I'm worried that if I breach that 1,000 mark, I will be charged per listing over that 1,000 active listings mark, which will severely bite into my margins. Keep up the great podcast and looking forward to a response. Best, and his name is Cyrus. Okay, well, thanks, Cyrus. I'm glad you're enjoying and learning from the podcast. That's, as I said, our whole reason for the podcast. So we like to hear that.
We just have to work on getting Cyrus to a full-time listener instead of a part-time listener.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Does he just listen to half the podcast and tune it out? I don't know.
Right? Or is he listening every other week? Who knows?
Interesting. Well, Cyrus, as you noted correctly, with a basic store, you do get 1,000 fixed price listings and 250 auction style listings. So I think you know this, but it's important to keep it in mind that this is a quota that is rolling. It's not per month and it's not accumulative. If at any time your total number of listings goes above the allotment, which for a basic store is 1,000 listings, you will be charged insertion fees for those listings over 1,000. The thing to keep in mind, though, is those listings will renew every month and you don't get a new set with those listings. So if you're closing in at the 1,000 mark and you list more listings and you get over 1,000, the ones over 1,000 are going to get charged an insertion.
And Cyrus, the special quota for select categories of 10,000 additional free fixed price listings operates the same way, but as a separate column, so to speak. You can have up to 10,000 fixed price listings in these select categories at any time. If the total number of live listings in these select categories goes over 10,000, then you would be charged an insertion fee for those extra listings.
And remember that the 10,000 additional listings for select categories do not count against the 1,000 limit for non-select categories and vice versa. Like I said, that you can consider them two separate columns in bookkeeping, for example. He says he sells mostly trading cards. I think that is one of the select categories. So you may be okay if most of your 900 plus listings are trading cards. Well, you haven't hit 10% of the 10,000 allotment yet. So mazel tov.
Yeah, keep it going.
If you're selling a wider range of stuff, yeah, I think you'd have to worry. So, okay, Amy, that's all for the questions this week.
And if you have a question about selling on the world's most powerful and sometimes a little overwhelming marketplace, why not ask us? You can call in your questions at 888-723-4630. Or if you prefer, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Yeah, and it's time for this week's tip of the week. And this one, well, it's another pet peeve of mine, and I think it's important to understand how this works. So if you're a seller and you ship anything in a poly mailer, especially anything that can be easily damaged by like a pair of scissors or whatever is being used to cut that open, you should always leave about at least an inch on the top end of the mailer So the buyer can shake the bag, get a free end, and then cut the mailer open without damaging the contents. I got to tell you, I myself have ruined a few shirts over the last few years that I've bought on eBay because the shirt was in the poly mailer and they folded it up so tight that there was no free space at all. And it got really difficult trying to cut the bag open without damaging. And I did cut a few shirts because, you know, I'm just sloppy, I guess. But yeah, if you leave that extra room, it'll make it a lot easier for the buyer to open the package without potentially damaging it. No, so that's our tip of the week.
Great tip. And Griff, that has happened to you and me both.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So yeah, you know, give a little bit of leg room. Never hurts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And your weekly reminder. Check the transcript for links referenced in the episode and check the eBay announcement board every day to stay up to date on eBay news, launches, and changes.
On our next episode, episode 307, we'll be talking about preparing your business for the holidays with eBay seller advocate and regular correspondent here on the podcast, Chuck Van Pelt.
And we'd like to again thank our guest this week, Stephen Weller.
Well, that's all for this week. Georgia Mampanis is our monthly co-host and guest coordinator.
And I'm your weekly co-host, Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm editor-in-chief and your host, Griff. The eBay for Business podcast is produced in-house and distributed by Quill and co-host. We'll see you next week, Kiyomi. Glad to have you back.
See you then. We'll